are listening to Thirst for Knowledge, Episode 9, with your hosts, Ricky.
I really like that deck. I might put that together for GPT.
No, I don't know if I'm kidding. I'm just going to hang up with
I would.
William.
Why don't I just play Delver turn 1 and flip it turn 2 and start smashing it in the face for 3?
And John.
You just feel like they don't make magic cards like they used to, Bill.
They don't make magic cards like they used to.
Tonight's Spotlight Deck is Modern Living End with special guest, host of the Deck Tease, and the girlfriend bracket, Miss Erin Campbell. Mics are hot. You're on in 3, 2...
Welcome back to the first round. Do I even need to do that, actually?
Yeah, you do what you want to do, Ricky. Pretty Ricky.
God, you guys got to calm down.
So why? Ricky. No, it's not. It's hilarious. Pretty Ricky and the boys.
Wasn't he like a
Pimp
or something?
It's a rap group. It's a hip-hop group.
I would love if people called me Pretty Ricky, but my name's not Ricky, so...
I'm going to call you Pretty Willy.
No, it doesn't work, Ricky. That's funny. Well, we don't have John this week, so it's just going to be... You guys have to put up with just me and Ricky.
We do have a special host, a special guest host.
So we have somebody going to talk about a little bit later on about Living In, Spotlight Deck.
We do our Spotlight Deck. We have a special guest, Erin Campbell. So neither John nor Willie could make that interview with me, unfortunately. It went really well, and I would again like to extend our thanks for coming on the show to discuss the deck.
Living In's a pretty cool deck.
I really like it right now. The deck is super versatile.
I agree. I want to put it together, but I've just finished putting together Twins, so I don't really want to spend more money on another Modern deck right now.
I don't know if there's any reason to play anything other than Twin. Like, if you have the deck together...
Yeah, it's just really... It's really fun.
The deck's super solid.
Oops. Excuse me while I combo real quick. Sorry. Forgot I had that in the deck.
You know, every time that deck does that, I think it's just inching its way towards a banning.
Nah.
Like, if they ban Splinter Twin, I think it says something really bad about the format. But
that, hey, don't play a deck that's winning, because then more people will win, and we'll ban it.
Well, I mean, they've already given us that message. It's pretty clear about that. So, me and Willie both have a GPT coming up.
Yeah.
It's for GP Charlotte, which is going to be a Modern GP.
We should shout out that GPT in case there's any local listeners that want to go, and we'll be there.
Okay, you got the information on it?
Yeah, it's going to be at the... Actually, let me pull up, just so I can give, like, the address and everything. Well, people can look it up. But it's at the Mana Spot in Boone, North Carolina, and it's going to be on March 29th, starting at 2 p.m.
Yep, and the snow is gone just in time.
The snow is now gone, so should be beautiful in Boone. It's a beautiful day here in Boone, North Carolina.
God, it went from about 4 degrees in Durham to about 70 degrees 2 days later.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to it. I haven't gotten to play too much
It'll
Modern.
It'll be nice to play, yeah. It'll be nice to play some more Modern. And hopefully, potentially, get some buys for GP Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about here, folks.
Yeah, I mean, you have a deck pretty much picked out.
Yeah, I'm going to play Twin. Blue-red Twin.
Yeah, I really need to find what I'm going to be playing in the format now.
Yeah, now that Pod's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I have
a bunch of options.
Amulet
you have a bunch of
combo,
stuff.
But,
which is an awesome deck.
It is. I'm just really nervous about that deck.
What do you mean? Like playing it?
I honestly think that deck is going to get banned.
Yeah?
We've got another ban-restricted announcement coming up on March 23rd.
That's pretty close. Honestly, they're not going to ban anything. Hopefully they will unban some stuff, but if they ban more shit for Modern, it's just going to piss off so many people.
Yeah. I would love to see some unbannings. I mean, me and you were earlier discussing unbanning potentially Deathrite Shaman?
No, fuck that. I'm not unbanning that card. That's you want that. That does not need to be unbanned.
That card is so good, though.
They need to unban Jace and Bloodbraid at the same time.
Jace and Bloodbraid?
Yes.
I don't know if Jace is a good idea.
You don't think so?
No. You just slot that right into Splinter Twin, and the deck is that much better.
Yeah, it is. But you also get Bloodbraid Elf, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so if you bring back Jund, like, how does Jund beat Splinter Twin?
Because they run 4 Abrupt Decays and Thought Seizes, Discord, and Lightning Bolts. I mean, Lightning Bolt's not going to kill the Deceiver, but it can hit Pester Mites. I wouldn't say Jund has a super hard time against Twin.
Jund has an extremely greedy mana base. The way I've always seen it go is that Splinter Twin will flash in a Deceiver Exarch at the end of turn, tap down like they're on a green source or something, and then combo off.
That's true. I mean, it's just player skill matters a lot in that, so the Jund player should make sure they're pretty flexible on their mana, but I agree. Okay, it happens.
And, we haven't really seen anything with Golgari Grave Troll.
Yeah.
It's kind of depressing. I wonder if Golgari Grave Troll getting unbanned and basically having no impact on the format whatsoever will kind of increase the likelihood that they unban something.
Dread Return, please.
No. Dread Return will never, ever, ever.
God, please. That would be so much fun. That's just too quick for Modern, isn't it? You just combo too quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dread Return, if you unban Dread Return, you basically have Legacy Dredge.
Yeah. They could unban Dread Return and Deathrite. That'd be interesting.
That would be really neat.
Honestly, I just want Modern to be Legacy without duels and Force of Will.
No.
Come on.
I see absolutely no problem with putting Force of Will and Wasteland in the format. I really don't.
If everyone has access to Wasteland, I don't really see it being a problem. It just kind of slows it down a little bit and makes aggro decks a little bit better. Force of Will, I'm not a huge fan of.
One of the biggest issues right now is Splinter Twin.
But it just makes Splinter Twin better, does it not?
Yeah, but it gives you a chance to fight against it, because right now it's just, oh, it's,
yeah, but
yep,
it gives Splinter Twin that same chance to fight back.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what happens in Legacy.
Get
into a counter war. I cast my spell that's going to win the game, and let's see who has more counter spells.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, there's also Abrupt Decay is huge in Modern right now, so that can't be countered, so.
I don't see any harm in sticking that in the format. I really don't think that it would push Splinter Twin over the edge. I think it would give other decks a chance to fight against the deck.
So it would make more decks blue, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that would stop bannings.
I mean, well, do you think Force of Will would see that much play without, you know, the awesome cantrips that we have in Legacy and Modern?
It hurts losing all the cantrips, but I mean, we have a bunch of cantrips still.
Really, Serum Visions. I guess Serum Visions are taxing and probe.
Telling Time
is not seeing a lot of play.
Yeah, makes me sad.
Maybe. Maybe we'll have to playtest it, Ricky. Why don't we playtest Force of Will and Modern? Put some decks together. Let me see how that feels.
Maybe. I don't think it would break the format.
Why don't I just play Twin Legacy?
I mean, look at Pod, for instance. Do you think Pod would still be around if... I mean, do you think Pod would even have been a Tier 1 deck if Force was in the format? I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
It's hard to say.
Let's take a look at... we've got some SCG IQs from Burlington on the 28th. I think this is a really good push for you to keep on playing Blue-Red Twin there, sir.
1 and 2. Three copies in the top 8.
3 copies in the top 8. There's one Amulet Bloom, though.
God, that's scary.
Who says white-black tokens?
Nobody.
Except for Star City. So yeah, we've got 2 blue-red twin decks in first and second place, and then we got another one in 7th. I don't know. I'm very wary of the format. Just everything gets banned. It's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Twin's definitely the deck to beat right now.
Do you see any sort of new tech in there?
No, it's pretty standard. And the twin list? No, it's pretty standard.
I want to take a look at the Amulet Bloom deck. In the sideboard, do you see what I see?
Sorry, I don't want to pull it up. I was looking at the tokens list. The juicy tokens. What, Thragtusk? Yeah.
3 of Thragtusk.
Well, Thragtusk gets you there, man.
It does. I mean, if you resolve a Thragtusk, you just never lose to a burn deck.
Yeah. And that's what it's in there for, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, he had a really good matchup against Burn. He's got 3 of Leyline of Sanctity, 3 Thragtusk.
God, that's disgusting.
And then for Twin, he's got 3 Swan Songs, 2 Nature's Claim. Now, Pyroclasm, that's got to be in there for Affinity, right?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely in there for, like, aggro and Affinity decks.
And then we've got a Sigarda in there just for the green-black X.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the deck. I love the one of Engineer Explosives.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, set it
up. You can tutor that up, right? With,
You can. Ancient Stirrings.
Antillaria West?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's really sweet. Really, really cool. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Do you have one of the Engineer Explosives in your deck?
I do not, but I think that's definitely going to have to go in there.
Why not?
Let's see. And in fourth place, we have a Reanimator deck. So this looks like it's just 10 Fens. We've got a 4 of Goryeo's Vengeance. We've got 2 Fury of the Hordes. 4 Grizzlebrand, 4 Emrakul. This looks like 10 Fens.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 4 Thoughtseize in there, but I presume that's mostly just going to target himself.
I kind of want to play a deck like this.
Oh, yeah. This deck is extremely dirty.
Tormenting Voice is disgusting for that deck.
Oh, yeah. Tormenting Voice is really good.
And that I didn't even know that was printed. I'm so far behind on, like, stuff that's been coming out in sets.
Sarkin's having a really bad day there.
I'd say so.
Let's see, he's got 3 Pack Rats in the sideboard. Pack Rat's really fun in that deck, because, I mean, A, they have to answer it, and B, it's also a discard outlet.
Discard, yep. Wow, that deck looks pretty fun, actually. I mean, what's not to love about casting or reanimating Grizzlebrand or Emrakul?
Yeah. And I mean, with the Grizzlebrand, you know, you reanimate that with Goryeo's Vengeance, and then just, like, draw as many cards as you can, mm-hmm. and then discard the red cards to create the Horde, and
yeah.
just bash them for, like, 21 in a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Deck's really fun. Goryeo's Vengeance being an instant allows you to reanimate Emrakul at instant speed.
Yeah. So you trigger on the stat to reanimate him?
Yeah. I mean, a turn 2 or 3, Emrakul can pretty much win a game, even if it doesn't kill the person outright.
Yeah.
That looks like a really fun deck.
Do you think Goryeo's Vengeance could be reprinted in Modern Masters?
I do think there's definitely a good chance of it, especially with them bringing things like Emrakul and Eldrazi in there.
Just thinking about that, I think we might see that reprinted in Modern Masters. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance of that.
And they just reprinted Fury of the Horde 2 in one of the decks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was in one of the pre-cons. I don't remember which one. So, I don't know. It looks like a very fun deck.
Reanimator's always fun. I'm glad it's worked. Like, you can see it working in Modern.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of Graveyard Hate, really. And there is, obviously, but...
Yeah, there's a little bit. Let's see. We have Affinity in 6th place. I wish that I had... I mean...
You don't have it together anymore, do you?
I sold off my Opals when they announced Modern Masters 2, so I've got to get those back eventually. But for the time being, I'm just kind of out of deck.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Masters 2 was really bad for me. And yeah, it looks like we're seeing Blood Moon in basically all these decks.
Blood Moon is so... I run main deck Blood Moons, and it's awesome.
Card's mean. Let's see. We've got second place is Blood Moon. How much of the top 8 is running Blood Moon?
I'm surprised that Hamlet Bloom deck made it. It was... Well, I guess... It has answers to Blood Moon, but that deck, it's really hard for it to beat Blood Moon once it resolves.
Yeah. So it looks like the only deck that's not running it is Amulet Bloom and Abzan Midrange.
The 2 decks that cannot afford to run it.
White-black tokens. Or black-white tokens. Damn it, Star City. So there's only 3 decks in the top 8 not running Blood Moon. Yeah, so, I mean, I guess he brings in the Swan Songs and just kind of sits on it.
Yeah, you have to. You hope that the player doesn't just jam it.
Yeah, you got to play that matchup a lot slower. I just noticed on Swan Song it doesn't say if it's countered this way, you get a 2-2. So you can, like, Abrupt Decay, counter your own Abrupt Decay, and then put a 2-2 bird into play and still blow it up.
Wait, you say counter your own Abrupt Decay?
Because you can still counter it. It just doesn't do anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you still get the bird.
To attempt to counter.
Yeah. It's kind of cute. I don't know. I could see me playing the Reanimator deck. I also really like the Black-White Tokens deck.
Yeah, that Tokens list can be pretty scary. A lot of the decks can't really deal with all the card advantage you gain.
Yeah. This is interesting. This one has a 2 of main deck Ariok Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a 1-1 for 2 white with protection from black and red. And then whenever another creature comes into play, you get one life.
Yeah.
Which is super cute against Sivrex.
That card has gotten really expensive.
Ariok Champion?
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. $20?
Yeah, because I don't think it wasn't reprinted in the dual deck, so people wanted to get it for their dual deck. You know, a modern event deck? I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it started...
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't stop somebody gets Twin, it doesn't stop the Deceiver Exarchs. Oh, wait, no, it does, doesn't it?
Deceiver,
no,
yeah.
There's two ones, aren't they? I mean, no. Your Pestermites.
Pestermites, yeah. Won't stop Pestermites, but...
But it stops the Deceiver Exarchs.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool. Because Deceiver Exarch is the creature being run more because of fear of a lightning bolt. So if you, like, they resolve that, you have to bounce that before you combo off if you're playing Twin. Because there's not... that's rough. It kind of just stops your combo, but there's a lot of that, like, stopping part of the Twin combo, but Twin still just can turn into a fair beatdown control deck that...
He's got a lot of answers for Twin.
Yeah.
He's got 2 Dismember, 4 Path to Exile, 2 Zealous Persecutions.
Zealous Persecutions, yeah.
Zealous Persecutions just mean. I guess he would bring in Nevermore against Twin as well.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times, the Twin player's going to remove their Splinter Twins, and go more fair route.
That's a fun-looking deck. I have to put
Tokens list always looks fun.
I mean, it's like $4 to build this deck, so... I think I have it. I, like, left this deck sitting underneath my table. Oh, yeah, it's got a Coke sitting on it.
Do you have this deck put together?
No, I'm just making it. It's got 3 of Storm, Solemn Visitor. So, this guy just was never losing to burn then, right?
Nah, probably not. This list actually is running a 1 of Bitter Blossom.
Oh, it is.
How do you feel about Bitter Blossom?
It's really cute with Ariok Champion.
It's true.
Just every turn you get a 1-1 Black Fairy for free. I like the card, it hasn't done anything in Modern. It hasn't proven that it actually holds any weight in the format. I mean, even in a deck devoted to making tokens, it's a 1 of... And this is more than I've seen in most of the decks.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good in fairies, obviously, but I feel like that's really the only place you want to be playing it. Like, in a tokens list, I think you can just get more value out of other spells.
Yeah.
I really hate how much it pumps up Tarmogoyf, too. That's, like, another scary thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's kind of mean. Like, you drop down Bitter Blossom, they abrupt decay it, and then drop Tarmogoyf.
Yeah. That's going to be a big bitch.
Yeah, that's a pain in the ass. If they turn two Goyf, you drop Bitter Blossom on 3 and then they abrupt decay it. You've got an instant, a tribal, and an enchantment in the graveyard, if nothing else at the yard.
Yeah.
Damn. Let's see, yeah, I mean, you probably just want to, like, raise the alarm. Go ahead and get your 2/1/1s.
Yeah.
They're not flying, but oh well. I really like that deck. I might put that together for the GPT. I probably need to start testing.
Yeah, we probably should start testing a little bit.
No, I don't know who I'm kidding. I'm just going to run Amiel Bloom.
I would.
The deck is too good, and I love Hive Mind.
Yeah.
I played that in Legacy, and that card is just... I kind of hate that I don't get the same look on people's face now, that people actually know the deck.
Yeah.
It used to be I would, like, Hive Mind, and then, like, Summoner's Pact or something, and they would just be dead. Now people are still dead, but they understand the reason why. I really like them having to, like, pick up the card and read it. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm going to be playing Amulet Bloom.
So, is that your final answer?
Yeah. I'm going to be playing Amulet Bloom for the deck.
So, Blue-Red Twin and Amulet Bloom. We'll have to let you guys know how that goes.
Yeah. And now we have an interview with Aaron Campbell discussing Living End. Hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Your accent is adorable.
My accent?
Are you Southern?
Yes, ma'am.
See what I mean? Yes, ma'am. I love it.
All right. I apologize. My 2 co-hosts couldn't make it. They wanted me to apologize for them.
Did they just not want to record with me? Is that what this is?
No. We usually record on Tuesday nights, and it's exam week. So.
Oh. See, I thought they were scared of me or something.
No.
I get told that I'm intimidating often, so I was like, I didn't know if they were like, can I swear on the show?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I didn't know if they were like, shit, it's Aaron Campbell, or crap, I'm not feeling so good, or like, post out.
You are a little bit intimidating. I've actually met you before one time.
Did you?
Yeah, well, I started to, up in GP Richmond.
Okay.
You were at the concession stand, and I was like, hey, And you, like, turn around, and you're like, yeah. And I was like, can you hand me the ketchup? Thank you. And just kind of, like, slinked away.
You should have said something.
Yeah, I started to. I don't know. I didn't know what to say.
Oh, man. That's so funny. Yeah, I get that a lot, actually. I've had people who, I think GP Minneapolis was another place that happened where somebody who was following me was like, you know, I saw you and I couldn't say anything. And I'm like, come say hi. Like, I'll hug you and probably give you a sticker and it'll be lovely.
All right. So, let's see. Brought you on tonight to talk about Living End.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love this deck. I've just never had a chance to get it together.
Yeah, it was my first modern deck when I decided to play modern. I remember reading Travis Wu's column on Channel Fireball, and it was an affordable. I think what really interested me in the deck was he had just written a post about budget versions of modern decks. So, you know, if you wanted to play Living End or you wanted to play at Tron, you know, there were cheaper alternatives than what was out there. And I've always had a great appreciation for black. I'm a black mage and graveyard strategy, so that deck really spoke to me. And it looked really broken, and it also looked really easy to pick up. So while I saved up my store credits, I earned store credit for doing my show, I had built the budget version of Living End. So I was using Avalanche Riders, and I was using Llanowar Waste, the pain lands instead of fetch lands, and then I would slowly start to replace them one at a time. So I would get a Verdant Catacombs and swap it out, and I would get a Fulminator Mage and swap it out. And, you know, over a series of weeks, like, I started to enjoy the deck, and I put more credit and money into it, and then I had the whole thing built and played Living End for about a year and got to know the matchups pretty well. And then, you know, I got to a point where I just I kind of felt like I did my time. And I wanted to play, you know, I did have the money and the credit to afford a quote-unquote better deck. Mm-hmm. So I did put my money into the BG decks, and that's what I've been playing ever since. But the Living End is still my bae. I still recommend it to people, and I still keep up with it. And it's a good deck. I think a lot of people underestimate it.
Yeah, I've only seen it across the table, but it does look like a lot of fun to play.
It is a lot of fun to play. I think to this day, whenever I successfully land a Living End, there's this little part of me that wants to throw up my hands like I'm on a roller coaster and just go, whee! Because it's just it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah. I play... God, I completely just forgot the name. I play Restore Balance.
Okay.
That's just kind of a fun deck from time to time.
Yeah.
And yeah... Casting those suspense spells, they do feel a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Especially because most people, you know, they either know, like, it's very much extremes. There are people who absolutely know what Living End is, and they are so ready for it, and they are determined not to lose to it. And then there are the people that are like, can I see that? And that's always the best feeling, when you're just like, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know what the card does, it's really hard deck to beat.
Yeah.
And the deck just feels very oppressive. Like, when you lose to it, it feels like there's nothing you really could have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, there are so many people who've pioneered the deck, and I kind of want to give them a shout-out. Like, Michael Hetrick has been working really hard on it. Michael Simon was a big proponent of it back in the day. Travis Wu, of course. Christian Siebold did some time with it. You know, so it's something a lot of people have put their own spin on, and they've all advanced the deck somehow. But yeah, but again, going back to people who know the deck, when they do know it, though, they're so ready for it. You know, if you play somebody with Rest in Peace, crap, you know. Relic of Progenitus is really annoying. You know, there are ways around those things, but they definitely can get in the way if people are looking out for it.
I was doing a little bit of research on the deck, mm-hmm. speaking of people who know it very well, and I happened to come across a name on here for a Star City Games IQ in Glendale. One Miss Aaron Campbell in 8th place.
Guilty. Yeah, I took it to GP Richmond, and I took it to GP Minneapolis, and, you know, I did some time on the competitive circuit with it. I did some IQs, and that was fun.
All right, so let's get into the deck, though.
Okay.
What's the goal of the deck?
Okay, so basically the gist of the deck is that all of your creatures, or the majority of your creatures, have an ability called cycling, which is where you can either pay life or pay colorless mana to discard that card and then draw a card. And then there are also cards with land cycling abilities. So Pale Recluse has four a cycling, so you can pay two colorless, discard Pale Recluse, and you search your library for a forest card. And it can be a basic forest, or it can be like a Ravnica Duel, like Overgrown Tomb forest swamp. And you basically spend your first couple of turns just cycling. So your answer to, you know, the first couple of plays is cycle, draw a card. Which is one of the reasons why the deck has such a good BG matchup, because they rely so heavily on discard. And if you're discarding my stuff, you're doing my job for me. So thank you so much. And also, you know, discard abilities are sort of redundant when you're drawing one or two extra cards a turn. So go ahead and take my Violent Outburst, because I'll probably draw another one in the next few turns. So the BG matchup is actually really quite good. So you're cycling your cards away, and once you feel that you have enough in your graveyard or the timing is right, you play a Cascade spell like Violent Outburst or Demonic Dread, and Cascade will happen, and you turn over the top card of your deck until you find a spell that costs less than the spell with Cascade. So Demonic Dread and Violent Outburst both cost, they have a converted mana cost of 3. So anything in your deck that costs less than 3, when you hit it with your Cascade, you cast it for free and instantly. And the only thing in your deck that costs less than 3, or that should be there, is Living End. So you keep flipping over cards, Living End happens, wipes the board, anything in the graveyard comes back to the battlefield. Your opponents are usually not going to have anything in their graveyard, but you're going to have a good stack of creatures that are just suddenly on the board. So all of a sudden you have 15, 18 power on the board, and you're like, pass. And most people don't play board wipes these days, so they're staring down 18 power, and very few people have ways to deal with that.
Yeah, and with Violent Outburst, you can just do that in a turn, right?
Yep, you can do it end of turn. You can do that in response to combat. Like if so say you're playing something like Affinity, where they're waiting to do a lot of things, or something like Infect, where they're going to blow all their pump spells on one guy, you can just respond and wipe the board. So they will have wasted all their pump spells. If they have abilities that, you know, you can't target it, that's nice. It's a board wipe. It doesn't matter. And so it makes a really nice combat trick as well.
Yeah, it seems kind of vicious, like responding to like an animated Ink Moth Nexus. Or you're not going to enjoy this turn.
Yeah, I've done that before. That's always a good time, especially because it's an Ink Moth Nexus, so then they lose a land too, and that's a good feeling. And the Cascade spells also make combat tricks by themselves. Like, you don't have to cast the Living End that you reveal with Cascade. Like, there have been times I've just used Demonic Dread to where that creature can't block, and I swing through. Or there have been times I've swung with the team, and I just needed the +1/+0 bonus from Violent Outburst. So the cards are versatile enough where you don't have to just use them for the Cascade.
Oh, wow, I did not realize it. Cascade says you may play it.
You can, and that's also something interesting for your opponents. Like, I remember I was at FNM one time, and I said Cascade, Violent Outburst. Mm-hmm. And before I could even flip to Living End, he just started sacrificing because he was playing Affinity. So he was going to feed everything to his Ravager. And then by the time I flipped to Living End, I was like, I just don't want to cast it. And he's like, but I sacrificed everything. I'm like, I know, thanks. And then, you know, I just kept out the two measly creatures I had on the board and just pecked away at them. So, you know, people think they're being proactive, but they might do it too soon.
Hmm. Would he have actually had a chance to sacrifice things once you decided to cast the spell?
Yes, they can respond to, what happens is they respond to Living End being, so I Cascade, I'm flipping over cards, I reveal Living End, and then they can respond to it actually being cast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons Affinity can be a difficult matchup, because if they have Ravager out, they're just going to sacrifice everything to Arcbound Ravager, and then it will come back again when Living End resolves.
That's not a very nice thing to do.
No. Malira Pod, when it was popular, was also difficult because they would sacrifice to Viscera Seer, or things like that, and then they would get all their graveyard effects and enter the battlefield effects, and it would just get really weird.
Yeah, I was a big-time Pod player, and I always, Living End, I was considered a 50-50 game post-board.
Mm-hmm.
The land destruction that deck is capable of is pretty absurd.
It is, and land destruction doesn't really face Pod too much. Pod, it really came down to can you fill your graveyard more than Pod can? Because, you know, Pod's going to be, if anything goes in Pod's graveyard, it's going to be the little stuff, or it's going to be some noble hierarchs, or, that's nice, bitch, I've got 4 monstrous carabids, I've got, you know, 3 fulminator mages, sit down. you know, so if you could put more in your yard, then you could overwhelm Pod that way. If Pod gets the combo out, though, you're just never going to... You're never going to win that. So we would have to bring in Anger of the Gods for that matchup, or we would have to bring in Leyland of the Void for that matchup, things that would take their graveyard out of play, and then that matchup would be more favorable.
I see. I never actually tried just stocking my graveyard before y'all could combo off.
Yeah, it's something the junk decks used to do, is they would sort of pull their punches a little bit, where they would wait until we went off, and then they would make sure they had like a really fat Tarmogoyf waiting for you to block. So that was one strategy, but Pod is now banned, so we don't have to worry about that.
Does the deck have any kind of floating slots, like things you can sell or slide things in and out?
Yeah, Beast Within is a flexible spot depending on the metagame and things like that. It's also tricky to use, so some people would rather not deal with the 3/3 creature and all of that. So that's a flexible spot. The addition of certain creatures... Excuse me. So Shriek Maw was an unpopular creature for a while because Affinity was really good and control decks are really popular and it just wasn't hitting anything. So Shriek Maw is a flex spot. Beast Within is a flex spot. The addition of a 4th Living End is a flex spot. Like, 3 is typically the number of Living End you want in your deck, but some people want 4. Some people like 3 Demonic Dread because you can't use it as an instant. Some people like 4. Architects of Will is a flex spot. If you want to, you know, if you like having one, you know, like more one cost cyclers, some people like Jungle Weaver instead. So those are all flexible spots. Simeon Spirit Guide is another one. If the meta is full of aggro decks, you want to go off really quickly. So it's not uncommon to want to have a turn 3, turn 2, you know, Violent Outburst and go off. So those are things that you can take or leave depending on your preference.
Let's see. And anybody who plays a deck for an extended period of time always has. Kind of develops pet cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me and Pod, it was Sun Titan.
Yeah.
Do you have any pet cards that you have with the deck?
You know, there were cards I definitely preferred in my time playing with the deck. I became a really big fan of Ricochet Trap because the deck is very weak to counterspells. And I tried different things. Like, Michael Hetrick was a big fan of Sin Collector. So he would try to use Sin Collector to get rid of their counterspells, and then the Enter the Battlefield trigger can be nice as well. I didn't really care for that. I found it kind of janky, and I had a hard time getting the mana for it because we don't pack a lot of white mana. So I became a really big fan of Ricochet Trap, and there were a lot of times where, you know, somebody would tap 4 for Cryptic Command, and I would, you know, redirect a Ricochet Trap, and that was another card people didn't often know what it did, and I would be able to get my spells off that way. So I became a really big fan of Ricochet Trap. Leyland of the Void is always a fun card. If you can ever get that off on Storm, it's hilarious, because there's, like, nothing they can do. so that's always a fun card, you know, playing a turn 0 Leyline and just watching Storm squirm.
Anything that makes Storm miserable is absolutely fine with me.
Here, here. Another card I started bringing in was Gnaw to the Bone, which against the burn decks is just hysterical. You know, gain 26 life, and then the burn players are just like, I want to go home. And so Gnaw to the Bone is always a great card.
Gnaw to the Bone was the one where you gain, like, 2 life for every creature in your graveyard?
It costs 2 and a green. It's an instant. And, yes, you gain 2 life for every creature card in your graveyard. And also has flashback. So it can just get silly after a while. So those were always fun, you know, fun cards I enjoyed. The interaction between a Fulminator Mage and Living End is good, too, where you destroyed a land when you sacrificed it, and then you bring it back. And let's say you bring back two Fulminators with your Living End, bam, bam, and you just strand them with no lands. And that's always a good feeling.
You're kind of making me want to play the deck.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Like, at the very least, it's a deck you have fun playing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a homeless modern player right now. I don't have a deck, so...
Well, PVDDR recommended it, and it came in... I think it made top 20 in Baltimore. I had to watch my I call Reed Duke my imaginary boyfriend, because I imagine that we are dating, but he doesn't know and couldn't care less. I had to watch him play Living End this weekend in a feature match, and I was so torn, because I was like, I love Reed, and I love the deck, and or can't watch. And Reed, of course, was playing Jund, which does not have a good matchup against Living End, and Living End beat him, and that was sort of hard to watch. But yeah, so it does do well when people aren't expecting it, and there's almost no graveyard hate being used nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Are there any decks that you just don't have a way to actually beat?
You know, now that I think about it, not really. I mean, Twin is very difficult because, like I said, you're having to deal with counter spells, and then you're having to deal with the, you know, the inevitability of the combo if they decide to leave it in. I know that there are certain cards that can really, really shut you down, like Rule of Law, Chalice of the Void for zero. Don't even bother. there was an Eidolon where you can only play one spell. It was a white one. That one will screw you over pretty hard. There are cards that can completely shut you down, but I'm not really aware of, like, decks necessarily. I seem to recall aggro decks were always good matchups. Jund and Rock were fantastic matchups. I can't really think of a deck. If you don't get the ley line against Storm, it can be kind of uphill. That's really about it that I can think of.
Okay. Like you said, there's not anybody right now really playing any sort of graveyard hate. Is there sort of an ideal meta that you like to look for?
I mean, I think it's a good time right now. You know, you have Abzan being at least 20% of the field, and it has a very, very good Abzan matchup. If you could find a way to improve the Twin matchup, it could be good right now. Like I said, PVDDR had suggested a list. There's a variation of Living End that goes around sometimes called Living Moon. Jeff Hoogland, for example, played a deck called Teemer Moons at Baltimore and made top 8 with it. So you could very easily put Blood Moon in a Living End shell and play Living Moon, and that could also hurt a number of these decks right now. If Amulet Bloom continues to be popular, that can certainly hose that. You know, it could be a good time right now. I just feel like I said, I played it enough, and the, you know, one of the downsides of the deck is that it's very limiting in terms of the play style. Like I said, you can only play spells that cost three or more. So, you know, that cuts off a lot of the cards in Modern that you don't get to play with, and you know, when you open that door and you're like, holy shit, I can play with Thoughtseize and I can play with Feed the Pack and just, you know, little cards that you have to immediately cross off your list, it is very stifling. So it feels really nice that I can play whatever I want now and I'm not limited to just three or more, because it really does hold you back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's understandable.
Yeah.
The list that Paulo Vito posted had 2 Blood Moon in the main.
Oh, yeah.
Is that really capable of...
Absolutely. Especially if you play it with Simeon Spirit Guide. I've gotten Blood Moons off on turn 2. I think I got a turn 1 Blood Moon off once. Oh, yes. Oh. And the thing is that you're cycling with your land cycling abilities. You're able to search for basic lands. So you play a turn 1 Blood Moon. And then, yeah, you're making nothing but red mana, but your land cycling abilities cost colorless mana. So you pay to discard Pale Recluse. I'm going to search for a basic forest. I'm going to swamp cycle my Twisted Abomination and look for a swamp. And you're searching for exactly the land you're looking for while your opponent is stuck, you know, on there with all of their mountains. Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. Tron hates it. Bogles hates it. It's surprisingly effective. It's a thing. I think I top-aided a premiere event with it once online. I'll have to find the website for that. But, yeah, I did play that for a week, and it was hilarious.
With the Living Moon variant?
Living Moon, yeah.
Nice.
I think it was this summer.
Are there any kind of corner cases for the deck?
What do you mean corner cases?
Like, there was a very interesting thing in Pod against Affinity where they would try to sack things away to their – or sack counters onto their Ink Moth Nexus. And then flashing in a Malira made things really bad for them because you can't actually take the poison counters.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there is a, Beast Within is a fun little catch-all card where if you don't have any creatures to target with Demonic Tread, you can destroy, say, a land with Beast Within, and then you have a creature that you make from it, and then you have something to target your Demonic Tread with. There's also another variation of Living End called All In Living End. Mm-hmm. Which is where you break the exception of using cards that cost less than 3 for silver bullets. So, for example, Affinity can be a difficult matchup for us. And the theory is that you take out your Living Ends and you board in Stony Silence or something like Kataki, and that way you can cascade into it, and then that should shut down Affinity where you can just cast a bunch of fatties and win that way. That's also something that you see against Storm, where they would bring in Rest in Peace, so they would bring in, you know, that Eidolon, and they would cascade into it, and then it would shut them down. So that's something you sometimes see with difficult matchups, is they will break the rule of three to bring in a silver bullet that can improve the matchup. I never did it personally. Burn is another one. Like, some people will bring in Core Firewalkers and then land a turn two Core Firewalker and do their thing.
That seems really clever.
It is, and it's something, again, people already don't know what you do a lot of the time, and even then they're like, what is she looking for? And then or they'll assume that they're going to be experiencing a Living End, and they're like, but you didn't cycle anything, and then you cascade a Stony Silence, and they're like, oh. So that can work, too.
Huh. So thank you again for coming on. Is there anything else you want to say about the deck?
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I think it's, you know, even though I don't play it anymore, I still have a lot of love for it. I still love watching it do well. I know quite a few people that are very passionate about it and you know, are, you know, they pick it up every once in a while and try to do what they can with it. And it's something I always recommend to people, especially if they are looking to get into Modern and they want an affordable option. I think Living End is definitely it.
And if you have a second, you said you're playing Black-Green X right now?
Yes. I was on Abzan for a while, and then I took a break and started playing Lone Pox, which is a really, really fun deck if you ever get a chance to play it.
Is that the one with Waste Not?
No. Lone Pox is something that Raphael Levy has been working on since Christmas, and it is Smallpox, Bloodghast, Life from the Loam. So much fun. So much fun. And I've been putzing around with that for the last couple of weeks. But, so now I'm kind of going back to Abzan. I have a PPTQ this weekend, so I'll be going back to Abzan. But those are my two pet decks lately.
Well, I wish you luck at the PTPQ.
PPTQ, yeah. So I think I'm gonna play Lone Pox at FNM because it is so much fun, and I do need to get better with the deck because it is really hard to pilot. And then for the PPTQ, it is much easier for me to pilot Abzan. So I think I'll just run Abzan at the more serious event, and then for FNM, I'll just fuck it, let's play Bloodghast and make my opponent cry.
So you said you have a new show coming out soon, though?
I do. I'm known for my show, The Deck Tease, but I'm taking a month off to start a new podcast called The Girlfriend Bracket, which is my version of the Brainstorm Breweries and the A-teams out there. It's going to be an all-female podcast where we're going to talk about our experiences playing Magic and what's going on in the community. We just recorded our first episode the other day, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The response has been really positive. I think it's something people are really looking forward to because there's just nothing else like that right now, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, with any luck, our first episode should be out on Monday. Gathering Magic has graciously agreed to host it. So you can find it where you would find the deck to use. And we're just getting started, and word of mouth has been positive so far, and we're excited to see where it goes.
Excellent. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, you should. It's going to be a really good time.
All right. And thank you again for coming out, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Willie, what do you think about that? Have you ever played against this deck, Willie? Have you ever played it?
I haven't played against it, but I've seen it played, like, online. I've watched, like, people streaming with the deck, and I've watched, like, seen it on coverage a few times.
God, the deck is so mean.
It seems really fun. It's like, I just love that it feels like you're not doing anything. You're just, like, cycling your creatures, your other... Like, your opponent's like, okay, look at my board position. And then it's like, wait, I'm going to instant cast Living End. I cannot speak. Instant cast Living End. Wipe your board, and I have a bunch of shitty creatures that are shitty by themselves, but because I cycled them, they're in my graveyard, and I get to play them now.
See, that's the thing, though. They're not even really shitty. Like,
well, they're not shitty. They're beaters. Yeah. Most of them are big.
You like Living End, and all of a sudden you have a 4-4, a 5-6, and a 4-5 out.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And that damn Pell Recluse, man, and the Jungle Weaver. So the Jungle Weaver is a 5-6 with reach, and the Pell Recluse is a 4-5 with reach.
Yeah, they're real. Those cards are real.
And then just, like, Fulminator Mage, and then you get to sack it, destroy target non-basic land. That deck, man, something I never thought about, or I never ran into it, but Shriek Maw is actually really, really good in that deck. Evoke it out. Blow something up, and then when you Living End, even if they bring something back from the yard, you get to just blow it up again.
Yep. That's definitely a sweet deck, and I think if there's any time to play the deck, I think it's right now.
Yes. I actually really like the deck. Well, is there anything else, Willie?
Well, no, nothing else about the deck, really.
Okay. And anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to say, there's a bunch of spoilers that have come out recently, but we're going to wait on those, talk about those, and their kind of impact they might have on Modern and, I guess, Standard. I don't really know much about Standard, but I might be interested in Standard after these spoilers. So we'll talk about that next time. We're going to wait for John to be back, because I'm sure he's got a lot to say.
Yeah, I can't wait to discuss these stories, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast. It's going to be hard.
Thanks for listening to Thirst for Knowledge. You can find us every other week on the MTGCast Network. If you have any questions or have a deck you would like us to discuss, feel free to contact us on Twitter at T4KPodcast. If you would like to hear more from Erin Campbell, we have included links to her shows in the show notes. Until next week, play tight and draw well.